Of you this morning. Definitely welcome our guest. I'm not much of a speaker. I try to do the little bit the Lord will let me do. But I know without a doubt, you come expecting God to give you exactly what you come for. I believe if you have a need this morning, God will give you that need. Amen. How many believes that? I believe, you know, there's a lot of times that you can imagine someone having the greatest weapon you could ever use and you never use it. And you know, one of the greatest things that we have is, you know, you can pull on the minister. And you can take him completely off of his text and bring it right to your knee when you have something, because the word is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Amen? And so many times, you know, if you got something bothering you, you just put that right before the Lord and say, you know what, Lord, that man don't know me. He don't know what I'm going through. You do. I'm going to commit this to you and see if the Lord don't change and go right to your direction and meet that need. Exactly. Amen. I've seen him do it. Amen. Let's take our Bibles, if you don't mind. Let's turn to Romans chapter 9, verses 11 through 18. She'll have it on the multimedia for us also. Romans chapter 9. For the children being yet not born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared through all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardeneth. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you with a heavy heart this morning, Lord. I know you've laid this on my heart, Lord, and I just want to get the weakness of this flesh to step it to the side, God. And Lord, I just want to be a microphone that you can use. I give myself wholly to thy hands, Lord. Father, if there be anything in my life that would hinder you moving in your full potential, God, I want to get it out of the way. I put it under your blood right now, Father. Lord, I ask you to meet every need among us today. Lord, I don't know their needs, but you know it, Father. We commit it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. I want to speak to you on a little thought this morning. Battle scars. Now, we've all got battle scars. Amen. Start at a young boy, young girl. That's a great conversation starter. I can remember my first day I went to kindergarten class. I was so nervous. I was begging my mom to stay, and she wouldn't. And she put me up there in front of this, I thought it was a boy, but it was a girl. And we were sitting in front of her, and I started talking to him, and I didn't know what to do. I was looking around. I was so scared. And finally, I said, you know what? Battle scars. And I looked down there, and I seen a scratch on her knee, and I said, how did you do that? I thought it was a boy, and she spoke, and I found it was a girl. And she said she ran a bicycle wreck, and it started a conversation starter. But the moral of the story is we've all got a story about battle scars. You say amen? At a young person all the way to an older person. And I just want to read one quote. It's kind of a longer quote, but I felt led to go this way. It says, time tested, trials, troubles, shakes, and pull. It's only to find the blows in you to see if there is anything there, any there. It's God shaking you and trying you. Some time ago, the great Caesar Augusta, after a great famous battle, had won a great victory. He was going to give him a celebration in Rome, and he said to them, "I want some man to ride, some worthy man to ride by my side while I'm doing this." Said, "I want some man to share these blessings with me." And all I went through all the camps, and the officers trimmed their plumes and polished their swords and made their armors real bright and everything, and practiced standing straight and certain salute for their king and so forth. And each one walked up with their big armor before him, and he sat out there on his throne watching, and there come up an officer with his big fine plume and his feather edge, and he stood and made his salute. Caesar shook his head and he walked away. Another one come up, he made his salute, he shook his head and walked away. Time after time, soldier after soldier. Finally, way along the line come a little footman. He didn't have any shield to polish, neither did he have a plume to trim. But he walked up in front of Caesar, and he didn't even know what kind of right way to salute. He just bowed his head and walked away. Caesar said, "Wait a minute, who are you? Come back here." And he walked up there and he looked at him. There's scars on his face, a cut and disfigured, crippled up. He said, "Where'd you get them scars at?" He said, "Out on the battle, fighting for my Lord Caesar." He said, "Climb up here and sit down by my side. You're the one that's been tested and proved. Brother, it's not plume trimming time. It's not educational days. It's time testing time. It's a time that God is testing his church to find the battle scars of hard trials, fights, and battles. That's the one who will ride by his side." Amen. You say amen.
Amen. Praise.
We've had our time where people went through how many quotes they can quote and how many scriptures they can quote and all these things. But you know what? At the end of the day, it's have we got the blood? Have we got the Holy Ghost on the inside of us? Because you know, during that time, it don't matter how much a man can preach. Because many will come to and say, "Lord, I preached in your name. I prophesied in your name. I've done all these great works in your name. They'll say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never even knew you."
Right.
People that were doing the works of God. People that were casting out devils. People are doing all these great things. And he's going to say, "I never even knew you." It's a time testing time. And God is going to be trialing us and checking us. And you know, it's during the time whenever you're by yourself and there's no music.
Right.
It's time whenever the windows are shut and it's just you and you alone. It's during those times it really shows the real what's inside of me.
That's right.
Have you ever noticed that Adam, when he got away from God, he made a mistake? It wasn't Adam going out and saying, God, where art thou, God? God, where are you, God? It didn't go that way. It was God looking for Adam.
Amen.
Adam, he knew he did wrong. He stepped down and he knew he was wrong. But God come looking for him.
Right.
I'm so thankful for that this morning, that God comes looking for us. You know, when we make those mistakes and you know, and you're going through this life and sometimes it's just a straight out iniquity. You know you shouldn't do it, but you did it anyway. And there's sometimes you find yourself like the woman that was walking down the street and she heard the music upon the dance floor and she stopped for just a moment. She listened to that music for just a moment, and the next thing she knew, she was on the dance floor in a man's arms.
Right.
And she was saying, "Oh God, how did I do this?" Right. But God didn't turn her away. God didn't say, "That's it. You've made your mistake. Lay in it now." God come looking for her.
Bless the Lord.
You say amen. I'm so thankful. I was, you know, when I gave my heart to the Lord, it wasn't me looking for God. God came looking for me.
Right.
Amen. Because you know what? If it was us, we like to look for the good ones. You know, the one that this would be a lot of less work. If you're looking for a house to renovate, I remember my wife and I, we were looking for a house and we were looking for something to live. And one time I thought I'd pull a joke on her. And I used to do that quite a bit. I don't do it quite as much anymore, but I did it quite a bit when we were younger. And I told her, I said, "I found the perfect house. And we're going down the road. We're going through this house. It ain't got no roof. It's just no barns, all it is." And I said, "But baby, it just needs just a little bit of renovating. And it'll be just fine." And she's like, "I don't think so."
You know, if it was us, if we're looking for a house to renovate, a house to restore, we're going to look for something that says, you know what, that's not too much work. The roof looks pretty good. Foundation looks pretty good. That's the one I would choose. But you know what? When God come looking for me, I look like that old shack he was talking about. I look like the one with no roof, with no foundation. I was the one with no windows on the inside. I was the one with the weeds all grown up. But God was going down that old dirt road from the foundation of the world in his mind. He said, I see a son of God right there. Amen. That's my son. Hallelujah. He don't look at the present time. God looks before the foundation of the world, before there was a field, before there was a window, before there was a door, before there was a roof. God saw me. Hallelujah. God saw you before you ever made a fault, before you ever made a failure. God saw you in his mind. And he said, that's my bride.
Hallelujah.
He had something on the inside of him. He said, I'm going to have a bride. I've got a longing for a bride on the inside. There wasn't even such a thing. There wasn't even an angel. There wasn't nothing. But what was it? God had something on the inside. He said, I've got a bride. I've got somebody. Eventually he created an angel. Oh my. Some of you want to run with me? I'm telling you. I feel so good this morning. God, there were nothing but the angels all around. He began to speak angels. But that wasn't it. That was wonderful. They never sinned. Never made any mistakes. They could sing. So wonderful. But that wasn't it. There was something on the inside of him that says, I got a bride. Way down in a Laodicean age. In a little old ragged down dirt road. He saw me. He saw you. Before you ever made a mistake, it's God's election. God is the one. He's the potter. We're just the clay. God molds us. He'll break us. You know, there's sometimes in my life I feel like God's molding me. And I look like a little vase. And I can kind of look at the window. Somebody opens the door of the potter's house. And I can look from the wheel. I see the reflection on the glass. I say, wow, I'm starting to look good. I'm starting to look like a vase. I'm starting to look right. And the next thing you know, I feel like I got this big clump on the side of me. I'm like, what did I do? What happened to me? I was looking so good. I was taking steps toward the Lord. I was getting closer to God. I was looking more like God. But now I've got mistakes. How did I do it? How did I make this fall? How did I make this failure? And in myself, I can feel like I blew it. How many times do we feel like we absolutely blew it? You know, I told God when I had that visiting ministry, when I went down to that altar, when I gave my heart to the Lord, I said, God, I'll never turn back to them old things. I'll never make those mistakes again. But I find myself, I've made mistakes again. Oh, God, I'm done. There's no help for me. But the potter's got me on there. He's got me on there with his precious hands, his strong hands. He molds me, and sometimes it hurts. He'll break you down. He'll mold you, and he'll help you. I'm telling you what, I'm so thankful I have a potter this morning.
Amen.
But you know what? When I saw myself in the reflection of being a vase, I didn't know I was going to be a vase. I thought I was going to be a cup or a pot. See, we don't even know what we're supposed to be. God knows what we're supposed to be.
Right.
It's God's calling. It's God's election. It's God doing this. And it's made with battle scars.
Hallelujah.
You say amen.
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 Brother Branham spoke about the bum on the street. You know, he's going down the road in the city, and he sees this man who's living in a cardboard box, and many of you know the story. They seen him, and something aside, Brother Branham wanted to ask the man. He said, how did you get this way? How did you become in this situation that you're in? And he said, you know what? You may not be able to look at me and know this, but see that bank way over there? I used to be the president of that bank. And Brother Brown looked at his interpreter. He said, that's right. He said, how did you go from being in the bank to being this bum down on the street? He said, you know, I had a wife and kids one day. And there was one day I come home and I found a John Deere letter. And from that time on, I just kept going down, down, down. So many times we can look back and say, from that time on, I started making mistakes. You know what, if you want to say, you know what, I had a walk with the Lord. I was so on fire every day on the way to work, on the way to school. I could feel the anointing of God. I could open my Bible and the scriptures would leap right out to me. It's like, yes, That's what I needed to hear today. Exactly. You go to lunch break, you read it, you're like, yes, Lord, that's it. But then one day you find yourself, it's been a week since I've even read my Bible. Oh, God, I ain't prayed all day today. Oh, God, and next thing you know, it's weeks. Before too long, you're like, God, how in the world did I do this? How did I get so far away? Oh, God, I need you. You know where he's at? Right back where you left him. You go right back to where it was. Say, oh, God, forgive me. I want to serve you, Lord. I remember there was a pastor. I can't remember his name right now. He did a couple of sermons about German shepherd dogs. And these shepherd dogs would help herd the sheep. And those sheep, what they would do is that German shepherd, he never bought the sheep. You know, and that reminds me a lot. I believe it's even what the brother said. There's a lot of preachers. He says, you know, them dogs will never bought the sheep. But it'll use the gift that's put inside him to help assist the shepherd.
Amen.
And you know, our shepherd is Jesus Christ. You say amen. Right. He's our shepherd. And he said that these shepherd dogs would guide these sheep exactly where that shepherd wanted them to go. So in other words, the sheepdog did not have their own agenda. They were doing exactly what that shepherd wanted them to do. You know what? There's only one blueprint in this thing taking us in this thing called the message. One blueprint in this thing taking us in a rapture. It's not my idea. It's not your idea. It's God's idea. That's before the foundation of the world. And if we'll follow that blueprint, I want to go into rapture, friend, don't you?
Amen.
But you know what? We can't go by our own thinking of how it is.
That's
why the prophet of God, what makes him to me was a prophet, it wasn't that he could discern. It wasn't that those are great. But everything that he preached went right back to this word. You say amen. He preached exactly what Paul preached. Exactly. And those shepherd dogs, what they would do, they'd guide those sheep where they're trying to take them. And they'll take them sheep right back to the last place they ever seen him. If they seen him on this hill, that's exactly where that shepherd dog will bring them to every time. Because that dog, he's not got his own plan. He'll bring you right back to where the shepherd is. You know what? I want to come back to the shepherd's arm this morning. See, you know what? I don't know how I made this mistake. I don't know how I did this. Somehow I've done it. Just give me just a second. I'm getting kind of dry.
Bless the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So you'll find him exactly where you had left him. I can remember when I was in school, our senior year, I went to a public school, and they would really advertise, we've got you. And they would have these guys with this great voice that could talk to you and make you feel so pumped up and energized. And they'd show pictures on the deal, and you'd see some guy climbing up the rope, and he's up top, and this other man's climbing up, and he's got this smiling face. He says, come on up, buddy. I got you. And you see that, and you're especially as a young teenager, 18 years old, you're like, that's brotherly love. That's what I need. Because, you know, I'm not a good runner. I'm not any of these things. I'm going to climb up that, and that drill sergeant is going to love me so much. He's going to pamper me, and if I fall down, he's going to say, Daniel, don't you worry, buddy. I suffered like that, too. He'll pick me up and dust the dust off of me and, here, Daniel, put your foot on this. I'll help you up. How many knows that ain't really how it happens? I remember my friends that were going to the boot camp, and I tried going, and it didn't work out. That's a completely different story. But my friends went, and he come back from boot camp, he said, that ain't nothing like they said. You know, when you go to boot camp, what they're going to do is break you down, strip you down, and call you every name you ever thought of.
Yep.
You know, he's going to make you feel so low that you're going to feel like you need a counselor before it's all over. He'll tell you, you're like, what's wrong with you? Why ain't you keeping up, you slow thing? Why can't you do this? Look at you, what's the matter with you? And you can think to yourself, you know what, Joe Sarge, you need to lighten up a little bit. We're on the same side, right?
Right.
I need a volunteer. Come here, son. You got a target right there. Look at this orange shirt he's got. Oh yeah. He's ready to go hunting. He's going to be my soldier.
soldier, and I'm going to be your drill sergeant.
Could you imagine having a drill sergeant at your dad, too? I used to feel sorry for people that were playing t-ball or baseball and their dad was the coach. I felt so sorry for him because he had to ride home with him. You know, by the time he got done with him on the field, he can go home. He stuck with it. But my young man, I'm going to stand up straight. Put your chest out. All the way. What are you laughing at? Who do you think you are? Does that look at me? Look straight. Who do you think you are? You think you're just going to come in this regiment and just creep on by just because we're friends and buddies? That's how you look at me? Look straight. Now, I want to ask you, how loving is he feeling right now? Get down and give me 10 push-ups.
Help him, Lord.
10 push-ups.
Down. Stop. Up. Down. Stop. Up. Down. Stop. Up. Down.
I miscounted. Let's start over. Now, how are you? How loving are you feeling right now? He says, you know what? He ain't loving me too much. You can sit down if you want to. He's saying, thank you. You know, when you're in the regiment and you're with everybody, you've got all these brothers that you've been with, and you feel so humiliated. How dare this guy humiliate me and call me out in front of everybody? I'll take you out to pizza or something. You know, when you're in that regiment and you're in boot camp, you feel so called out. He singled me out of everybody, and he knew that I had trouble doing whatever it is. And that's why he's picking on me. Ain't that a lot of way it is sometimes in church?
Yep.
You'll say, you know what? He's just picking on me. You know why I would pick on him more? It's because I see something in him. And I know there's something there. Amen? You know what? You say, won't you take it easy on me? Why don't you go easier on me? Why don't you pat me on the back? Because when you're out on the battlefield, you ain't going to have somebody patting you on your back.
Amen.
You've got to be watching your brother's back. You say, amen? Because we are in a battlefield. We're in a real battle where we're actually fighting. And you know what? You can't go to Humpty Dumpty Church and say, you know what? Praise God, I did my dues this week. When you go, you need to go with the attitude, Lord, I got to fight this devil tomorrow. Give me the victory that I need. Give me the equipment that I need. That way, whenever that word's preached to me, because you know, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Where do we get our faith? Hearing the word of God preached to us.
Right.
That's right. Whenever the word is preached to you, there's something on the inside of you says, amen. Maybe not just with this, but something inside here that says, amen, that's right.
Amen.
That is right. I believe that. And when you take that, you are filling the tank up. You are bringing yourself from the inside out. You are building yourself up. That way, when you fight that devil, you face that devil, you're equipped for it.
Amen.
Because you're beating him by faith. You're not beating by how I feel. I feel pleasant today that I'll beat the devil today. You're not going by those things. There's something on the inside of you says, I know I'm a son of God. I know where I'm standing. I'm weighted down. Amen. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But you know what? The thing about it is today, that's the one thing that they want to take completely away from you. You don't even use faith anymore. You go by feelings.
Right.
You just go by what feels right. If I'm on the mountaintop, oh, praise God, everybody got filled with the Holy Ghost. It was such a good service, they didn't even open the Bibles up. We just praised the Lord the whole service. Or sometimes you don't feel a thing. You say, oh, there wasn't nothing there. Feelings. You can't go by feelings. Amen.
That's right.
Blind people go by feelings.
That's right.
Blind people's going by feelings. This is the darkest hour, if there ever was a dark hour, where you need faith, where you can walk by faith every single day. Because you know what, especially young people, listen to me. You guys are fighting temptations that I never even thought I would fight. You did go to a generation before me, they would have never even thought the temptations you're having to fight. Why in the world would we ever consider trying to go without reading our Bible and seeking God, seeking the answers? God gave us a message in this hour that can light our path. Thy word, O Lord, is a light in my feet and a lamp into my path to where I can go when I can walk. You know, when I go to Honduras, it's really dark. When you go in there and Sometimes you only got like one or two flashlights. And they're the ones I brought. And you're going over these hills, and you're going through creeks, and they've got this what's called a yellow beard snake. And the things are, one of the trips, it killed a mule, bit the mule, and it didn't even make it from here to the parking lot, and killed the mule. And you're going through the creeks, and them thoughts come to your mind, oh my, where's the yellow beard snake? Where's it at? Could it be here? Could it be there? And you're walking through, you got one lamp, one flashlight in front of you. You got one behind you. And you're going through. I'm going to tell you something. When it's dark like that, and you're aware of the things that are around you, guess where you snuggle up to?
Oh, Jesus.
You snuggle right up to that light.
Right.
And ain't nobody having to ask you. Ain't nobody having to say, hey, you better get up to the light.
That's right.
Ain't nobody having to nag behind you and say, son, you better get closer to the light.
That's
you
right.
know why? Because you are aware. You are alert that there are things out here that can hurt me, and I need to be able to see where I'm going.
Right.
That's in the natural. But you know what? In the spiritual, it's 10 times worse because it's something that can kill your soul. Something that wants to drag your soul to hell in a darkness so dark. You say, but it's not dark in here, Brother Daniel. Spiritually, it's dark. It's death. And we need to walk so close to that light every day. We're walking sin. God, what is it you'll show me? God, where am I going? We need to be able to... My goodness, Lord, help me get it to him the way you're showing it to me. We need to be able to use this thing more than just a book. We've got to be able to use this thing where there's something on the inside of you that when you read this Bible, it's a love letter to you. You say, amen. When you read this thing, you say, God, that's right. If I was to show a picture of, and I'm going to say, and I've used this illustration before, I'll use it again. If I had an illustration of a picture of a family portrait, and everyone's got the pictures here, and I'm showing all these pictures on the multimedia, and I'm going to show Brother Richard's family. His uncles and his cousins, his nephews. And I'm going to show all this footage of his. Now, we love Brother Richard, amen?
Amen.
We love his family. Amen. But I can show photo after photo after photo after photo after photo after photo of Brother Richard's family, his cousin's dog, his cousin's cousin's dog. And you can pay attention for a little while. But after a little while, you're going to be bored. Mm-hmm. You know why? Because it ain't got you. But if I showed a picture, I say, all right, guys, I took a picture before church while we were playing song service. I know none of you knew it. I'm fixing to put it on the multimedia. And I want you to be honest with me. When we turn that on, I'll say, I'm going to turn it on. 3, 2, 1. I didn't take the picture. But if I was to flip that on, whose face would you be looking for?
Mm-hmm.
Would you be looking for me? No. You're looking for Richard? No. You'd be looking for yourself. Is that the truth?
Right.
Now, we want to be humble and say, no, I prefer my brothers first. But we all know the truth. We'd be looking for ourselves. And I'm here to tell you something. To the service, it's good to see.
Oh.
It's good to see our neighbor. It's good to see our pastor. It's good to see Brother Brim. We love Brother Brim. We love our pastor. See, amen? We love
amen.
Our neighbor.
Amen. Right.
You can go service after service. And you can do okay for a while. Because you love them.
Right.
But at some point, you have got to be able to see yourself
amen.
Inside
amen.
This.
Because right. right.
then when you see yourself, all of a sudden, oh, you'll
amen.
Be alert.
Praise
you're right. paying attention. Because you know why? This next page he's fixing to flip, I'm in this thing. That's the greatest thing about it. I've got this photo reel that I'm going, and this photo reel I've got, the shots are already taken, the pictures were taken, and you don't know nothing about it. And you just seen your first photo of you in it. Chances are you were probably in a couple of others, but you were dozed off and you weren't paying attention. But now you see, that's my photo. You know, hey, this next photo shoot, I'm probably going to be in this thing. And you're going to be alert. You're going to be paying attention.
Right.
And you're going to be seeing yourself in the scriptures.
What a blessing.
We've got to be able to see ourself in the word. It's okay to see Brother Tony. Praise God for that. You need to see yourself in the scriptures. Amen. I need to see myself as being redeemed. I need to see myself as being healed. I need to see myself as having these needs met.
Right, amen.
Amen. I can remember my wife and I. We were going through a time when we were younger and we were really financially strapped and we didn't know what in the world we were going to do. I got laid off on my job. I didn't know what in the world I was going to do. And I had the little ones being born. And I didn't know what in the world I was going to do.
But you know what? There was something on the inside of me that wanted to see this Bible live. And God gave me the opportunity. And I would pray to God before I got laid off. I'd say, God, I just want to see you live. I want to see you move in these scriptures. I see where they think they can do this. I see where Brother Branham can have things, you do things in their life. But God, I want to see you do it in my life. And all these hard things started happening. Got laid off my job. Electric was fixing to be shut off. And I was having to walk to and fro work. And I'm telling you, I was tired. I was exhausted. But I always gave my tithes and always gave my offerings. But there was something inside of me that said, God, when I'm walking down the highway, I look around. I see people that weren't even serving the Lord and their needs are being met. They wouldn't even try to serve God. They'd have a nice truck that they can drive. I'd see all these people. They wouldn't even try. And here, God, I'm giving them my tithes. I'm giving them everything, God, and I'm struggling. I don't know what to do, God. It brought desperation in me. And I began to get on my knees, and I began to pour my heart out for this Bible and say, God, I need answers. I need you to move. Sometimes what it is, God has to bring us to a point of desperation to where we'll finally get serious with God. Because whenever you're in a desperation, you don't. Nobody has to ask you. Nobody has to nudge you along to get with the light because you're such a squeeze pressure then fine, you're saying, God, I got to have the answer. I believe that's why the bride's going to go through a squeeze. Because this squeeze is going to bring us to a point when we quit looking at the nonsense around us and get serious about this thing. Because, you know, not all ones we left behind.
Right.
I began to seek God and pour my heart out to the Lord. And the Lord spoke to me. And a lot of people say, God don't do that no more. But God spoke to me. And I had this old junky trailer you ever seen. And I want to tell you, my brother built it. And we're not welders or nothing like that. So you can just imagine what it looked like. And my boy right there had eczema all over his body from the head to his top of his head to the bottom of his feet. And it just bleed all the time. He'd just scream and cry. And he was so upset. And we would try and try and try. Go to different doctors. And try to get people to look at him and say, help us to get this cure to help him out. And they'd all say, he said the same thing. There's nothing we can do about it. We're just going to, you just have to give this medicine. It helps with the pain. That's all we can do about it. And we'd go to the library or different things. Anytime we'd go there, people would always come to you and say, what's wrong with your baby? What's wrong with him? They said, there's nothing wrong with him. Because something on the inside of you automatically goes in defense mode. You won't take care of your babies. Is that true?
Amen.
You don't ever want to see it because you know what? He was perfect to us, but we just didn't want to see him hurt anymore. And he has eczema all over his body, and we didn't know what in the world to do about it. And then I got laid off on my job. And I remember I was walking down the highway, and I was just pouring out my heart out to the Lord. And right down the highway, I was just saying, God, I don't understand it. I know this message is right. I know you're right. I know this truth is right, God. But why in the world am I going through struggles, God? If there's a hidden sin, show it to me. Because that's what they told Job. You got a hidden sin in your life. That's why you're going through what you're going through. But sometimes God just wants to test his people. And I got home that night, and it was on a Wednesday night. And we lived all the way in Poto, Oklahoma, and we were going to church at the time in Pecola. And it's about a 25-minute drive, and I had no gas in my Jeep at all. 95 Country Jeep Cherokee, had no gas. And I told my wife, she was sick, she had pneumonia, and he was sick. And I was wearing a white shirt just like this one when I was getting ready for church that night. I told her, I got to go to church. And she said, you ain't got gas. How you going to go to church? I said, I got to go. If I got to walk, I'm going to go. And that night, God's my witness, I went over and picked him up, and he was bleeding. His face was actually bleeding. And I picked him up and held him next to my chest. And I prayed with him, and I put him back in the bed with her, and I said, I got to go to church. I'm going to go. And I got inside that old Jeep Cherokee, and I started driving. And I started just pouring my heart out to the Lord. I said, God, I don't know why I'm going through what I'm going through. If I'm doing something wrong, show me. God, I just don't understand it. Got all the way to church somehow. Shouldn't even have gas to get there, but I did. I got all the way to church, and I was so stressed. I was so, under such pressure that I couldn't even hardly get into service. I got in the back seat about where Sister Catherine's sitting at this other church. And I was sitting in the back, and all through the service, I was struggling in my mind. I said, God, I don't know why I'm going through what I'm going through. If I'm doing something wrong, show me. You ever notice when you're going through something, that's what keeps going through your mind. God, is there something wrong in me? Is there something I did wrong? All service wrong, I just struggled with it. And at the end of service, Brother Prater asked me, he said, Brother Daniel, I want you to come up and pray. And I thought to myself, how in the world am I going to pray? I can't pray. I'm beat down. I feel like there's nothing left. I've given everything. I'm beat up. I'm scarred up. There's nothing. I don't have anything to offer. So Brother Daniel come up, called up again. And I walked up there, and I felt like I couldn't even hold my hand up with my sword. My sword was so heavy. And I was going up to the pulpit, and I was just so beat down. And I was thinking, my electric's going to be shut off tomorrow. I'm behind on my rent. My boy's sick. I don't know what to do. There's no jobs hiring. I don't know what I'm going to do. And I get all up to the front. And I still felt just as beat down as I ever did, and I just started praying.
And I said, God, I don't know what to do. I give it to you. I commit it. And all of a sudden, I felt something drop down right over me. And I just started letting it go. I said, God, I ask you to help me with my job. God, I ask you to help me with my boy. I commit it all. I just give it all to God. I said, God, meet every need, God. And you know, I committed right then. You know what? I'm going to praise God anyhow. That's what we got to do. We got to say, God, regardless of what I'm going through, I'm going to praise you. I'm going to lift my hands up. I may not have a job. People may laugh at me because I say that there was a prophet. And they say, if there was a prophet, why are you going through what you're going through? Why ain't God meeting your needs? I said, God, I'm going to praise you anyhow. I got in that old country Jeep Cherokee and I started driving. I shouldn't have had enough gas to get home, but I did. I praised God the whole way there. I was just worshiping the Lord. And I said, God, I don't care what happens. I'm going to serve you. And I'm going to remind you, whenever I left, my boy's face was bloody. I had blood on my shirt from where I held him to me. I pulled up to the driveway, and she met me at the door, and she was holding me, and he had a brand new face, just like it looks right now. God, no, God healed his body from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. He was perfectly healed. I said, oh, God, I praise God. I couldn't go to sleep. I just praised God all night long. And I was shouting, and she said, babe, the neighbors are going to hear you. I said, I don't care. I'm going to tell you what, sometimes we need to get out of our normal attitude and just worship sometimes. Sure. I began to just worship God, and she went to bed, and I just got on my knees. I just kept pouring my heart out to the Lord, praising God. And she said, babe, you going to come to bed? I said, not yet. I still got praising to do. I kept praising the Lord, worshiping the Lord. I was screaming from the housetops. And I had this Bible. And I would just, it wasn't this, and it was a black one I've got to keep in my room. The pages started falling out of it. I'd read that pages, and I started reading the scriptures, and I said, wait a minute. We got a prophet that can discern the hearts and thoughts and intents of the hearts, and people can be healed in their fleshes for these things. God could do that on the inside of me and make me something fiery on the inside where God can really use me. And I began to really get serious with God and said, you know what, God, I really want to know you. I want to know you in a way where you can work in my life. I want to talk to you and you talk back to me. And all night long, I just talked to the Lord. And I know people say that God don't talk to you like this, but he already did. It's already happened. The Lord told me, he said, go hook up the trailer that's out there by your vehicle. Hook it to your Jeep. And I didn't know why. I just did. I went out there and I grabbed the old pathetic-looking trailer you've ever seen. It was, if you've ever seen a terrible-looking trailer, that was it. The tires were about square. It was so bad. I hooked that thing up to the trailer, and I'm back there. I'm rattling. I hear the door open up. She said, what are you doing? I said, I'm hooking the trailer up. Why? I said, God told me to. She said, okay. She shuts the door, goes back inside, and I'm hooking the trailer up. And I told her, I said, go get Elijah. And every time I seen him, his face was just as healed. I'm telling you what, all of a sudden you feel that fire just... I mean, it was just a pumping on the inside. And I said, go get Elijah. He said, where are we going? I said, I don't know. She went and got him, put him inside the Jeep, and I just started driving. And I didn't know where in the world I was going. God's my witness. I didn't know where I was going. And I started going down Old Cameron Highway out of Poto. And we were going that way. And then I started realizing, we're going to the dumpster. God told me to go to the dumpster where we're going. And my electric was going to be shut off this morning. I said, God, this is early in the morning. I said, we're going to the dumpster. I said, baby, when we get there, I don't care what it is, it's yours. You dig through any of them dumpsters you want to, and baby, you find something, it's money is not an option. It's not a problem. Anything you get, and she's like, oh, my Lord. I said, it don't matter what it is. You find something, you just throw it in the vehicle. It's paid for. We're going down the road, and I'm just so happy because I see God moving. And we get up to where these dumpsters are. We pull up next to the dumpsters up there, and there's boxes of lamps, plates, spoons, all kinds of stuff sitting beside the dumpster right there. Every one of these things, the Lord said, take those, and go have a yard sale. I was like, oh, my Lord. And I said, we start picking stuff up. I said, this is what the Lord gave me. And I started hanging this stuff in that trailer. It was so much of it. It was hanging out both sides of the trailer. And I had bungee cords hanging and stuff was just a dangling just like that. And we started going back. I said, go to your mom's and have a yard sale. And by the time we got there, it was probably about 8:30 or so. And we started setting up the yard sale. My wife said, or my mom said, where in the world did you get all this stuff? I said, at the dumpster. She said, oh, Lord. I said, God told me to. God told me to go get that stuff and have a yard sale here because he's going to bless it. And we went and put yard sales on, and by 11 o'clock, we sold everything that we had there and had enough money to pay the rent, had enough money to pay the electric,
every need was met. Every need was met from stuff I found in a dumpster. Tell me my God ain't real. You know, I was so rejoicing because you know, I didn't get to worry about my being kicked out of the house. We went there and I started praising the Lord. I mean, I really need to praise the Lord now. I got on my knees. I was praising God, worshiping the Lord. And I heard a knock on the door. I was like, oh my goodness, who could it be? And I was like, I'm just going to keep praising. I kept praising the Lord, praising the Lord. I heard a boom, 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 boom. I'm like, oh my goodness. It's probably the neighbors telling me to quit praising the Lord. And it was my mom. I didn't have a phone because I couldn't afford one. My mom said, Hickory Springs just called. They want you to get up here real quick and call her right back. I said, okay. Got there as quick as I could, and I dialed the number. She said, Daniel, she said, there's an opening. She said, I'm giving you a $2 raise. She said, can you start tomorrow? I said, yes, ma'am, I can. Absolutely, I can. I'm going to tell you, my God is real. No, but sometimes we got to get serious with God and take God at his word and say, God, I need your help. I can't do this by myself. I'm at a point where I can't do it. I need your help. And that's when God will step in and God will meet the need. Amen.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Battle scars.
Amen.
You know, I was talking to somebody at work the other day. And we got to talking on a little subject called shoes. You know, you can have shoes that look really, really nice. And they get very expensive. Shoes are just out of this world how expensive they get. As much as you want to spend, I imagine. But you know, you can have shoes that look so good on the outside. They're shiny. They got pizzazz. Someone will look at that and say, you know what, that's a nice pair of shoes. I'd really like to have that. But on the inside of that shoe, it can be so broke down. The most uncomfortable shoe you could ever imagine. And the only person that really knows how uncomfortable it is the one that's wearing it. And you know, I think a lot of times we are like those shoes. We can put forth a shine. We can put forth this pizzazz that we're so strong, we're so healthy, everything is fine. But on the inside of those shoes, on the inside, we feel broke down. We feel weak. We feel uncomfortable. All the comfort's worn out of my shoe. It looks fine on the outside, but on the inside, I'm so uncomfortable. I'm not happy. I don't feel the joy that I used to feel. I don't feel the stability that I used to feel. There's nothing worse than having a shoe that broke down. You see, man? I can remember growing up, our toes would be sticking out of the shoes. We grew up pretty poor. Our toes would be sticking out of the shoe, and show mom, and she says, oh, yeah, they're all right. And we'd put duct tape over the tops of them. And that's not being funny. That's really what we did. But you know what? That's a lot like we are a lot of times. On the outside, we can appear like we're strong. We can appear like we're okay. But on the inside, we feel broke down. On the inside, we feel, you know what? I miss that. I miss when I first bought those shoes. They were so comfortable. I mean, every step, like, wow. Those are comfortable shoes. I remember I wore old shoes. I'm telling you, old shoes not growing up. Toes sticking out and everything. And I remember one time they brought this bag of clothes. And this pair of, this is the first time I'd ever heard of it, Nike. There was these blue shoes that had this long check mark. I didn't even know what a Nike was. I called it check mark shoes. And I seen those shoes and they had a big old hole on the front of that. And my dad says, no, you're not going to wear that. Those are wore out. We got better shoes. And I was like, nope, that's the ones I want. And I had never wore comfortable shoes before. And I put those shoes on. I was like, wow. Wow. And me and my brothers, we would run around the house. And then eventually we stepped up and we got what's called Concord shoes. Anybody know what Concord shoes are? And me and my brothers, we would say, these shoes make me run fast. We'd run around the house. And truth be known, I think we'd run just as fast as we always did. It just felt that way. But you know, I wore these shoes, and they were so comfortable. And that's the way it is when you first get shoes that are really comfortable. You just, every step you take, it's like, wow, this is nice. Kind of like when you get with the Lord. At first, it seems like every step you take, I feel the love of God. I feel the presence of the Lord. Everywhere I go, I feel the presence of God. But after a while, that cumber starts to fall away. And it don't happen overnight. It's little by little, one step at a time. You'll take one step at a time, and you don't even realize it's going so slow, you're losing the structure, you're losing the comfort, you're losing the stability. And then eventually, you'll be way down the road, and you realize you've got a blister on your foot because your shoes are so broke down. And then you're absolutely miserable. Every step you take is like, goodness gracious, it hurts. You try to take steps, oh my goodness, that hurts. You say amen. I'm talking spiritually. Spiritually stepping in your spiritual walk with the Lord, one step at a time, that old devil will try to take your stability away. He'll try to take your comfort away. He'll take all these things away until finally you're left with blisters on the bottom of your feet. And every time you try to take a step to the Lord, it hurts so bad, it's hard to step. Every time you try to raise your hand to the Lord, you're reminded of something that you've done. Every time you go to sing a song, there's something the devil tries to put over you. And what is it? The devil's trying to take away the joy of your salvation. He can't take your salvation away. He'll fight like crazy to get your joy away from you. Has there ever been a day where he's taken more joy out of the people that should be the happiest people in the world? Because we know who we are. We've got the message. Say, man, we're the people that should be the happiest people in the world, but the devil will try so hard. I'm reminded of a little woman. You know, in the Bible. And without a doubt, she started out right, hearing the word, doing the Sunday school classes. But somewhere along that line, the shoes started wearing out. And the next thing she knows, she wore out to the point to where she was living a filthy life. And she was living an adulterous life. And I can imagine that little woman felt every step she was taking, she felt so bad. Every step, it just hurt, because on the inside of her, she said, God, there's got to be something more to this. There has got to be more to this walk called the message of the hour. Because we got the message, I should be happy, I should be joyful, there should not be any condemnation, and there's not in the right way. And this poor little woman felt guilty, felt beat down. She was going down the street, and she felt so beat down. On the inside, she felt so closed in. That's where the devil will try to fight you. And Jesus was walking through, and they said, Jesus, I want you to come and eat dinner with us. You come supper with us tonight. And Jesus will come where he's welcome. And he knew what they were going to do, but he will come wherever he's welcome. You welcome? You say, Jesus, come in. He will come in. And he says, yeah, I'll come sup with you. But when he got there, their custom was they'd wash their feet, they'd anoint him with oil. But when Jesus got there, they never washed his feet. They never anointed him with oil. The most religious people in the world, people that had supposed to be the religious people of the world, had Jesus Christ right in their midst. And they wouldn't even wash his feet. And they put him off in a corner all by himself. And this little woman was walking down the street, and on the inside of her, she's going through, she says, there's got to be something more to this life. There's got to be some more to this message. God, I want some joy. I want so much to have victory in my life. I want so much, God, to be able to just, and imagine she was inside of herself. She was turmoil on the inside, and she looked through that window right there, and straight back to the back, she saw Jesus sitting all by himself in the back. But there was something on the inside of her, says, that's Jesus. That's Jesus there. And if they won't worship him, I'll worship him.
Praise God.
If they won't do it, I'll do it. You know, there's so many people today, they've got the books, they've got the Bible, but they're not washing his feet. They're not giving it the reverence that they used to have. This world is so full of it. People will be playing games, whatever, and they'll try to use the Lord's name over things. There's no reverence to the name. Just throw his name out there. There's no reverence when they say, you know what, my Lord, my Savior. They've lost the reverence. Somewhere down that aisle, they didn't start out that way. It was one step at a time. They've lost that reverence before the Lord. Friends, I don't want to lose my reverence to the Lord. You know, that little woman, she came up to him and through such humility, and she was with her tears, and she began to wash his feet with her hair. You know, Brother Brown said today, a woman does, she has to stand on top of her head.
That's right.
It's such a, because, you know, women won't, always want to cut their hair off. It's such a beautiful thing. It's your hair is your glory. And he wasn't trying to be funny when he said that.
No, sir.
People have gotten so far away from the word, so far away from the reverence, that whenever Jesus Christ was right in their midst, they didn't even recognize him. You know, some of the greatest healings I've seen take place, moves I've taken place, it wasn't the real shouting voices, the real shouting services. It was the quiet services where I myself, I was contemplating all through the service saying, God, I need your help. God, I'm going through this. God, I'm going through this. It's because you're serious. You say amen.
Amen.
But sometimes we have to be brought to a desperation. Remember one time we were out in a clothing store, and this young man, again, I've been picking on him all day today. Remember we were out shopping, and he disappeared. And we didn't know where in the world he was. And at first we're thinking to ourselves, you know what, it's no problem, he's around here. And we were at the mall. And we were, at first I was like, she said, where is he at? I was like, you know, the husband usually is less stressed out than what the wife is. And at least that is, that's the way it is with us. And I was like, it's all right. He's around here somewhere. And I started slowly looking around. Like, Elijah, looking around. First, it's fine. He's around here somewhere. No problem. And she said, and she's already frantic. She's the mother. I mean, you get between a mother and her cub. And,
amen.
You know. She was getting frantic. She was looking. I said, babe, he's around here somewhere. Don't worry. And we kept looking, and all of a sudden, I started getting this desperation. I thought, okay, this is getting serious. Because this is my baby boy. And we got looking, and frantically looking, and looking, and looking. And then you see this, they got them clothes deals that's in a circle. That you could just keep moving the clothes around, and that little stinker was sitting right underneath that. And he stuck his head and said, hello. Hello. You go to the car? Yeah. Come on, this is going to be fun. All right. Because if I would say, you're dead, he'd have screamed the whole way out of the store. You want to go to the store? Uh-huh. Come with drill sergeant. There was a desperation brought inside me, yes, because sir. At first I realized something I value very much was just probably misplaced. At first, I thought, it's no big deal. I probably just misplaced my joy. I probably just misplaced what I'm going through at first. But then after a while, I'm like, wait a minute. I'm not finding it. It's been a day. It's been 2 days I haven't had my joy. It's been 3 days since I've really felt the joy of the Lord. It's been 3 days since I've heard the Lord speak to me. God, I'm getting desperate. All of a sudden, you're getting nervous. Your heart starts beating. God, why am I not hearing you? God, the rapture is going to be taking place. God, where are you at? God, where are you? Why? There's a desperation. I've realized I've lost something I value. I value my rapture. It's my rapture, amen? God, I want my rapture. But there's a desperation. When you get that desperation, friends, when you put that before God and say, God, I want to be right. Search me, God. If you've got to cut something, cut it. If you've got to expose something, expose it. Say amen. God, if you have to call me out from the regiment and do 10 push-ups, do it, God. Whatever you've got to do, but make me right on the inside.
Yes, right.
You say amen. Let's all stand right. I want God to search my heart this morning and create a clean heart inside me. God, if there's something inside me that's hindering me from walking with Him and having the joy of the Lord in my heart, you know what's one of the greatest feelings in the world? It's whenever you have a battle that week. You get victory over that battle, or you're just going through that battle, and then you get to go to church, and you get to worship God. You say amen? Because then you can praise God while you're singing those songs and say, God, praise God, I got the victory. But you know, sometimes you're going through that battle, and you feel like you have been kicked around, punched around, slapped around, and it seems like every time you try to pick yourself back up, you get slapped down by something else. Am I the only one? You go through that battle, and that it seems like every way you go, you're trying to work as circumspectly as you can. And that I would do, I don't do. That I would do, I don't find myself doing that. You feel like you're doing just the opposite of what you really want to do. And you're saying, God, I want to serve you. God, I want to bring forth a good attitude today. The next thing you know, by 9 o'clock, you've lost your attitude. You're like, oh, God, help me. I need your help, God. But you know what? It was God looking for Adam. And God's here this morning. He's searching for you. And he's saying, where's my perfection? He knew where Adam was. He knew where Adam was at. But he said, Adam, where's the perfection that I made? You were perfect, Adam. Where are you at, Adam? You were a fool. We could have fellowship in the cool of the evening, Adam. I could come down and talk to you. Adam, it's been so long since we got to talk. Adam, it's been so long since you just told me about your cares and your worries, Adam. He's here right now, friends. He's walking down in the cool of this evening. He's saying, I want to fellowship with you. I want to talk with you. You're going through something. I want to be here for you. I want to counsel you. But he's a gentleman. And he'll only come where he's welcome. He won't force himself. But if you say, God, I want to suffer with you this morning. I want to let you in my heart. And I want you to walk through the aisles of my heart, God. And Lord, if there's anything in my life, I want to give it to you right now. God, forgive me. I don't know how I did it. I made the mistake. God, I did. But you know what? In mentality today, it's to make excuses for it and say, well, I wouldn't have done it, but this happened. But we just need to say, God, I did it. I made a mistake, God. I'm sorry. I give it to you, God, because he's not ready to beat you over the head. He's standing there as the wounded lamb, bloody. He's fought for us. He's saying, I'm here for you. Give it to me. Give me your worries. Give me your concerns. Give me your fears. Give it to me. You need healing? Give it to him this morning because he's here. He's saying, don't go by feelings. Don't go by these things. It's by faith. And you say, God, I don't feel like a son of God. I don't feel like a daughter of God, but I know your word says. Brother Benham says, when you recognize this message as evil food, you have heard from your theophany. Sometimes if you step out like that, you say, God, I want to make sure I've got the victory this time. Somebody wants to just be prayed for, you're certainly welcome to come forth, and I'll be glad to pray with you. Lord, ask the Lord's blessing on your life. If you're going through something, you say, you know, I'm just struggling with something, I don't...
I just need some help, God. We want to open the aisle up for you if anyone has need of prayer. This ain't you can receive it right at your seat. You don't have to come to the front. But it's here. And he's a gentleman. He won't force himself. But he'll knock on the door and say, you know what, if you're going through and you need prayer, just come on forth. Somebody else in the scriptures. But Lord, it's when we can see ourselves, Father. Lord God, I ask you to touch every heart, Lord. I may never have another opportunity to talk to anybody in this building ever again, Lord, because I don't have a promise of tomorrow. Lord, this could be my last day on this earth. Lord God, help me to, Lord, just throw the net out one time, Lord, one more time, Father. Lord God, if there's anybody throwing a tug in their heart this morning, they can just, Lord, with all heads bowed, just lift up their hands. Say, God, I need your help this morning, Lord. I need some encouragement this morning, Lord. Lord God, I need some joy this morning. Lord God, I need a refilling of the Holy Ghost this morning. Lord God, you walk the aisles right now, Father. I'm reaching out by faith. I'm casting the net out by faith, God. Lord God, I'm claiming the blood this morning, Lord Jesus. Lord, I ask you to meet every need this morning, Lord. Search their hearts, Lord. God, if there be anything in their life that's unlike you, Lord, burn it out, Heavenly Father. You're a consuming fire, oh God. Oh God, burn everything unlike you, Lord. Purify us, oh God, where you can see your reflection in us, Father. Oh Lord Jesus, I ask you to touch every heart, every hand that's up right now, Father. Meet every need among us, Father. Oh God, break every chain that would try to bind us this morning, Lord Jesus, and let there be total liberty in the house this morning, oh God. Oh Lord Jesus, walk the aisles of our heart, Lord. Meet every need, Father. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' holy name. Hallelujah. We're going to ask Brother Tony to come forward. Let's sing a song, I Need More of You.
that you heard this morning. If many can say, Lord, I want all those wasted hours and minutes, I want them to be given to you. Amen. So, battle scars. Amen. We all have them. And you get battle scars because you're fighting with an enemy. And you have an enemy because he's standing for something different than what you are. So you're standing for something and he wants to take it away from you. And that's why you have battle scars. And you really think that God would come at the end time and bring to us a vindicated truth that this world has waited for since the beginning. You really think that Satan would sit by and not want to fight you over it?
Right.
Absolutely, he wants to fight you over it.
Yeah.
And you know, you hear people say, well, you know, if you ever talk to anyone about religious discussions or whatever, they all have their ideas about the Word. And many of them, if they know their Bible, can probably debate you around the Word strong enough to make it where you just don't know what to do. And so I've heard people say, well, you know, Brother Branham, he taught this, but, you know, Mr. Larkin taught that. And that's true. There's many things. But remember, Brother Branham's job to come at this end time was to take all the loose ends, take all those things that was laying out there as loose ends and bring them back. In other words, Luther had justification, but he didn't have all of justification. There was a portion of it he didn't have. And so God would give that man, Brother Branham, the gift and the ministry to come and bring those truths to us in this hour and bring us a full revelation. And so all through the ages, we needed these things, and then God brought it to us and gave us a divine vindication to the truths of the Word. You really think Satan's not going to fight you over that? He sure will. He'll sure fight you. So Larkin had some things that were right. Yes, he did. But Larkin wasn't a prophet. Larkin was not sent of God with divine vindication. That's something I want people to understand, was that this ministry that you and I believe on in this hour, vindicating the Word, He might have said something that others had taught before. That's true. But only when he, as an ordained, vindicated prophet of God, when he put his mark on it, now God will judge the world by it.
Yeah. Right.
You understand what I'm saying? Now it's written in stone. Now it's brought forth. And now the generation is going to have to answer to that. Yeah. But until he put his mark on it like that, it don't make no difference what Larkin said. Right?
Amen.
That's why we have to rally underneath this message of this hour that's a divine, and it is a vindicated truth, right? So we have the perfect interpretation of the Word with divine vindication. So now we have something to rally around, and now we endeavor to believe on this, and we got an enemy. And the Bible says he come down with great wrath. You know, it speaks about it. He come down with great wrath because he knows he has a short time. And of course, we know that's when the bride goes up, he comes down. But Satan knows that he's lost his battle. I told my son the other day, I said, you know, the original, the sore loser is Satan.
Right.
Satan's the sore loser because he lost and he ain't liking it.
That's right.
And he's a sore loser. But certainly he's coming down and he's aggravated because he's losing out to what the bride has been given. And so we have battle scars, no doubt about it. You know, Brother Ram told us this. He said, love is corrective. And I remember him telling the story about being in the boxing ring. I mean, he remembers that. He's talking about being in boxing. And the guy he was training with. And he said, the guy would just absolutely just, you know, I don't remember his exact words, but just basically just hit Brother Branham so hard and almost obliterate him while he was practicing. And Brother Branham asked him, he said, why do you have to be so rough on me? And the man said, you may not appreciate it now, but you will thank me later. Because he was preparing Brother Branham for the real thing.
That's right.
And you know, sometimes when your daddy gets on to you and your mama gets on to you, and I'll tell you, you children, you think sometimes your mom and dad hate you. But you are misunderstanding what they're doing. Because love is corrective, and if they don't love you, they'll always give you what you want, and they'll never tell you no, and you'll never be able to be satisfied because they never corrected you and never, you know, said no to you. But when they say no, and when they have to correct you, and they have to tell you you're out of line, it's because they love you. Because the scripture said, David said, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Because we know in the scriptures that if God loves us, he corrects us. And if your earthly parent love you, they correct you, right? So sometimes it seems hard. Battle scars, you know, it's one thing you're fighting an enemy, but sometimes we think the battle scars come from our Heavenly Father. Sometimes we feel like it's our own earthly parents that's against us. But it's because off out there at the end of the road, when you come to that final battle, we want you to be ready. And we have to. We have to say something about it now. Your ministry has to stand here right now and call it out. As Brother Daniel said, maybe make you do push-ups in front of everybody. And I'm going to tell you something. As a minister, you know, we don't have a desire to do that in ourselves. But when the Holy Spirit tells you through His Word what to speak on, you have to speak on it.
Yeah.
Amen. You have to share it. So that's what we do. Amen. But your parents, they don't hate you. They love you. And that's why they get on to you.
Yeah.
Amen. So, I mean, it's thankful for battle scars.
Amen.
Yeah.
I know it never feels good when it's happening. And as the Bible says, it never feels good when you're getting a spanking. But what does it say? Afterwards, after you've received that correction, it yields the peaceful fruits of righteousness. And that's what I want. I really want to be standing in right standing with God, and I know that comes from the correction of His Word. So we thank God for what He gave us this morning.
Amen.
Amen. I mean, He's going to go and meditate upon what you heard. Remember, if correction's coming your way, if God's telling you no, or if your parents are telling you no, stop and think about it. Why are they saying that? Why are they doing that? Is it possible that my Heavenly Father knows more about where I'm headed and where I need to go than I know?
Yeah.
And submit yourself to the leadership of your Heavenly Father, your Earthly Father. Amen. We thank the Lord for what He's given us this morning.
Amen.
Brother Tim is getting another song ready for us. We love the Lord. Want to say that we're glad to have Brother Danny Williams with us again, his family. I don't know all the names, but we're just happy to have had you with us. And by the way, you know, we're, as we do almost pretty much every Sunday, we go to the house after service and we fellowship and have lunch. And everyone's welcome. Nobody's to be turned away. Amen. So you say, well, I didn't know you was going to do that today. Well, that don't make any difference. You're part of us. You're part of our family. We want you to come. We want you to be welcome. And draw strength, because Brother Bram said we need fellowship. But as I said many times when he said that, the particular time I'm thinking about, he didn't just say we need fellowship. He said we need fellowship. Loud, we do. We need that. Listen, I don't want to hang around the world. You don't see me out there trying to run out there somewhere and hang around with everybody all day on Sunday. But I like to hang around with God's people on Sunday. I may not get out there and play with the kids in the yard and do the different things. And I might even take a nap while you sisters are talking. That's fine, but you know what? I can sleep when I'm comfortable. Okay? I may not be real active, but I enjoy having the fellowship of God's people around me, because it's an environment that I'm going to spend eternity in. So everyone's welcome. And Sister Gloria, I know that you probably didn't know we were going to meet today. We do it just about every Sunday, like I said, but I want to invite everyone to come. Amen. Let's just sing this song as we get ready to dismiss.
Free.
Amen.
We all went on a closer walk with the Lord, and none of us have halos over our head, right? We do make mistakes. As Brother Branham said one time, he said, you ever wonder, he said, sometimes when you do something wrong and you know you shouldn't have done it and you do it anyway, why?
Yeah.
He said, that you may know grace.
That's right.
That you may know grace. Amen. And at that, what he addressed and what he described was not the grace to save you to begin with the first time you experienced it, but the grace every day of your life.
Yeah.
Because we needed grace. As a matter of fact, it came with double grace.
Amen.
Amen. And so we want to thank Brother Daniel for his labor in the Word this morning. Amen. It's always good to have someone who's got some experiences in his life that he can relate. Brother Daniel's had plenty of those. It helps him in his ministry for sure, because it encourages the people to know that God is real. That's the one thing that we need to be able to do, is to let everybody know when they hear our testimony, for them to realize that God is alive. He is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, it's been good to be with you. God bless you. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord.
I have